What I'd like to do tonight is just to show you some pictures first before we look at the scriptures, just to reflect on a place in Israel called Shechem. Right at the beginning of this chapter of 1 Kings, we read Rehoboam went to Shechem, and we read there that all Israel had gathered at Shechem. Now, there are various stories about Shechem, but it's helpful to look at the historical background of this location in Israel. So I want to start with Abraham, and there's a slide, I think, of Abraham. Here we are. Maybe I'll turn around and just reflect with you. Abraham and his family were in Ur of the Chaldees. His father went up to Haran. And then in Haran, God called Abram to leave his family and everything and go to the land that he was going to give him. He didn't tell him where that land was. He just said to follow him. And he went southwest, virtually where Damascus is, and then down into Canaan. And you'll see there Shechem. And Shechem was one of the first locations that Abraham encountered in this land, a place where he resided for some time. He ended up purchasing a piece of land there, and his wife was buried there. And you'll see later on, of course, Jacob, when he's in Egypt, he's taken up, buried in Shechem, and Joseph's body also. Shechem is a significant place. All right, we'll move to the next slide, and you'll see Shechem has two mountains just close by, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. You can see its location here in Samaria, which was the area of Israel that was in some conflict with Judah, which is to the south where Jerusalem was. They were all Jewish people, but in Samaria, they were regarded as people who joined with other gods and worshipped all sorts of idols. Not that the Judeans didn't do the same sometimes, but essentially in Samaria, idolatry and false worship became very rampant. In the end, actually, the Samaritans set up their own place of worship instead of going to Jerusalem. They had their own whole setup. So Shechem was a significant location for them. Let's move on to the next one. This is Shechem, and that is Mount Gerizim there behind, and you can see some of the modern developments in Israel. And move to the next slide. Now this is Jacob. Jacob who, when he returned to the Promised Land, remember he was up with his relatives Laban. He went up to Laban to find a wife and eventually fell in love with Rachel, and then of course Laban deceived him and gave him Leah instead, and he had to work for another 7 years, so 14 years up there. But then God told him to return to the land, and he comes down here. You can see the arrow on the right hand side, and he gets to Jabbok. Remember Jabbok, where he meets with God and wrestles with God. And God blesses him. He goes across the Jabbok and he meets Esau, who's coming to kill him. And Esau is completely melted, and there's an incredible work of the Spirit that goes on, and peaceful reconciliation of a measure that enables Jacob to go free. And the first place that he goes to is Shechem. And why Shechem? Because you see all of this heritage. You need to realize the heritage there. There's Abraham, there's Jacob, there's all these, Abraham and his burial place. But Shechem was actually an evil place. False worship was going on. The family, one of the princes of Shechem, abused his daughter, Dinah, and then there was a great conflict. So Shechem has there's a lot of heritage in the location. Let's move on. Here again is Shechem from another angle, Mount Gerizim on the right. These ancient ruins are temples of false gods that were part of the whole area of worship, and then move on again. That's the foundations of one of the idolatrous temples. And then finally, there's a map showing what happens in the story that we're going to look at today. So what had happened during Solomon's reign is his sons had sort of splintered off. Jeroboam had gone to Egypt, and Rehoboam had stayed in Israel. And when Solomon dies, we read this story here at the end of chapter 11. We read now the rest of the acts of Solomon and all that he did and his wisdom. Are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon? And the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over Israel was 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his place. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. Now, you know, we have in the world places that we regard as significant places. You may recall over the last few years in Paris, they have been rebuilding Notre Dame, you know, that great cathedral. They've spent $1 billion, I understand, rebuilding Notre Dame. People have a very strong attachment to localities because of heritage, because of things that have taken place in those locations of the past. You know, the great Muslim process that ends up in Mecca. You know, there are locations where people identify with certain beliefs, certain remembrances of religious things. And we do it ourselves. You know, if you come to church on a Sunday and, Alistair and Judy, you usually sit in that seat there. Why don't you sit over there? You see, because we have a location that we kind of feel is the location of that belongs to us. This is the place where I'm going to be blessed. And this is a part of our natural thinking. And the people of Israel, Shechem became this centre because Abraham, you know, his wife was buried there, and Abraham and all these things had taken place. It's kind of a place where you could remember your heritage. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, in the story we're going to read tonight, oh, if only Israel had remembered their heritage. Sadly, like the building of Notre Dame, Paris and France do not seem to be remembering their heritage today, right? I mean, the rejection of Christianity in France is manifest, as it is in the rest of Europe. The embrace of same-sex marriage, the whole pursuit of rebellious things against God, and yet you would spend $1 billion, you know, rebuilding Notre Dame. It doesn't seem to make any sense. Well, it will make sense to you when you have the story that we're going to read in the Bible today, because just like this, the people of Israel went to Shechem to make Rehoboam king, as if this is a new beginning. But none of them seemed to, maybe some of the older counselors we have in this story seemed to be reflecting back on the heritage of faith and the true ways of God among his people. But Rehoboam completely rejects the truths that are connected to the very people who would make Shechem special. The truth about Abraham, the truth about Jacob. Jacob's well was at Shechem. Jacob's well was at Shechem. We're going to see in the story something incredibly significant happens in the story of Jesus, doesn't it, at Jacob's well. And yet we can be in locations for all the wrong reasons. We can be there because we want to gain the glory of that space, but not connect with the significance of those who made that space important. And you'll see that in certainly I've discovered this in Christian faith. You have people who want to glorify the Reformation, and the Reformation is an absolutely wonderful time to study as a person. Let me tell you, God moved powerfully in the Reformation, the life of Luther and Calvin and Zwingli and many other people. Our church, Presbyterian Church, John Knox in Scotland, an absolute servant of the living God, formed the foundations of what we hold precious. But people can worship forms rather than the significant things that touch the lives of those people who brought these forms into being. And in this story we have here, it's very interesting. Here, Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. We're going to continue to have a kingdom of God. Solomon has reigned for 40 years. He's established these amazing, the temple, the construction, the civil projects in Israel were unsurpassed, except in Solomon's day. He brought incredible richness and all the wealth that came from other nations to him. And so Israel now is coming to Shechem to establish Rehoboam king to continue this apparent glory. And as soon as Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard, for he was still in Egypt, where he had fled from King Solomon. Now, you see, it's interesting that in the context of Israel, not everybody was in agreement with Solomon. Not everybody was yielded to him, and Why would Jeroboam flee Solomon all the way to Egypt unless he believed that Solomon might do him in? And we need to reflect a little bit on Solomon's life as we gain an understanding of his true nature. Yes, God gave him wisdom. He asked God for wisdom and God blessed him with wisdom. But Solomon is not the perfect man, as you're going to see. Well, Jeroboam returns from Egypt and they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and said to Rehoboam. So they're all gathering around Rehoboam. There's kind of a joining. This is a new beginning. Your father made our yoke heavy. Notice that. Solomon made the yoke of life heavy upon the people of Israel. Remember, he had all these people who were building all of these magnificent structures. Solomon was given wisdom, yes, but did he exercise wisdom? And that's very easy for us to fall into the trap of. God can give you an understanding of what's right, but if you don't do it, you are a fool. You actually turn out to be a fool yourself. The wisdom is there. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, the Pharisees do what they say, but not what they do. Because they don't do what they say. And that is the greatest snare in the Christian life, is to have all of this knowledge of God and the scriptures, and yet it's not being lived out in practice in your personal life. You are not applying the truth of the words and the things that God reveals to you through the scriptures to your own life, not to other people's, to your life. And Solomon clearly, particularly towards the end of his life, absolutely rejected God's truth. You know, God told kings not to gather gold, much gold. Solomon gathered masses of gold. God told the kings that they shouldn't have a great army of horses and chariots. And Solomon gathered all these things. And how many wives did he have and concubines? He was absolutely in rebellion of God. Even though he was given all this wonderful wisdom, he was in rebellion of God at the end of his life. And the outcome of this is what we're going to see. Jeroboam and the people tell Rehoboam, your father made our yoke heavy. Have a look at the world today with all the increasing problems that are taking place and hear the voices that are calling for harsher activities. Make it harder. That's what's going to happen. More control. Well, you'll see what advice is given by wise people who actually followed some of Solomon's teaching rather than what he did. Verse 4, your father made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you. You see, if you continue to put, if you're in business, if you've got a business, and you continue to put heavy loads on your workers, in the end, they will rebel against you. In the end, you will make it impossible for them to do their work properly, and they will rebel. Here, the counsel is given to Rehoboam to lighten the load so that the people feel loved. Their concerns are listened to. And we will serve you. Here are all the people saying to Rehoboam, we will be united behind you if you take off the heavy load that your father Solomon laid on us. Rehoboam responds. He said to them, go away for 3 days, then come again to me. So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam took counsel from the old men. The old men, you know, these old codgers. I remember saying to someone this morning after church, I said, God begins his work with old men and women all through the Bible. Abraham, he started when he was 75. Moses, God started when he was 80. You have a look and you will see in the scriptures, old people are not at the end of their days. God uses weakness, and sometimes he has to wait. With Moses, he had to wait for 40 years in the wilderness to weaken Moses from his confidence in himself until he was at a point where he could be used by God. That's not to say God won't use a young person, but they need to come to the end of themselves. They need to realize without Jesus, they can do nothing at all. Well, here, the old men who had stood before Solomon, his father, while he was yet alive. These old men had stood in the service of Solomon as his counselors, and they had seen what Solomon was doing, and they realized, you're making mistakes. This is not what you should be doing. And Rehoboam asked them, how do you advise me to answer the people? And they said to him, if you will be a servant to this people today and serve them and speak good words to them when you answer them, then they will be your servants forever. These older men actually give the counsel of God to Rehoboam, the counsel which is affirmed by what we read in the New Testament today. Remember Jesus when his two disciples, James and John, asked about, you know, being put at the right and the left hand? And what does he end with this? He says, no, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, like Solomon did. And their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. here are these old men in front of Rehoboam giving the same words that Jesus gave to his disciples. These are precious words from these old men. And Jesus says, whoever would be first among you must be slave of all, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. But you see, Rehoboam has grown up a son of Solomon, seeing his father develop incredible worldly power and influence by not following God. Be careful, fathers. Be careful of the example that you give to your children. Solomon ended up pursuing worldly success, worldly fame, worldly possessions, worldly activities, many wives. And look at what is going to happen to his son here, who gets counsel from old wise men that it's really from God. He rejects it. Why does he reject it? Because he sees how his father has lived a life and had apparent success. Remember what the devil said? I'll give you all this if you bow down and worship me. I'll give you all this. You know, I was a cricketer before I was, well, I was a cricketer. I still played cricket after I became a Christian, but cricket was my life. It was really everything I was pursuing in life. And I was heading up the pathway, you know, and playing District First 11 here in Melbourne. And my coach would say to me, oh, yeah, you bowl leg spin, you could pray for Australia, you know. And then on one of the weekends, there was a game at the Albert Ground against Melbourne, but it was on a Sunday. And I always started to feel this conviction, no, I'm a Christian. We're meant to be worshipping God on Sunday. And there was this tussle. And then another man in the Carlton Cricket Club said, no, but look, this other guy's a Christian. He plays on Sunday. And it's okay. And I yielded to all that. And I took 6 wickets on the Albert Ground. And I felt like this. Inside, something deep inside me said, this is all wrong. This is taking you the wrong way. I just thank God so much that he made me feel like this. Because the devil will give you success in the world if you follow him. This is what Solomon did, you see. He had fame. He had all the success. And he's leading his son to think that following after his father, that'll be the way. King Rehoboam took counsel, the old men. They gave him this counsel. If you will be a servant to this people today and serve them and speak good words to them, when you answer them, then they will be your servants forever. And verse 8 says this, but he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men. The young men who, like him, had grown up under Solomon's leadership and seen the amazing developments. And what did the young men say? Well, look, your dad started to really crack the whip on these people. He said to them, what do you advise me that I should answer the people? Who said, lighten the yoke that your father put on us. And the young men who had grown up with him said to him, thus shall you speak to this people, who said to you, your father made your yoke heavy, but you lighten it for us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's thigh. And now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. I'll make it tougher. I'll get the best out of you. I will make you work so hard that my success and fame will be magnificent. This is happening in the world right now, friends. If you're in the workplace, you're being whipped. Work harder, work harder, longer hours, more. You can't even rest on Sunday, you know. You need to work. That's what's happening in the world right now. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam. The third day, as the king said, come to me on the third day. And the king answered the people harshly, forsaking the counsel that the old men had given him. Now, to me, this is amazing. Here is a man who's at Shechem. What would you remember? If you went to Shechem, what would you want to remember? Abraham. Abraham. God called him from Haran. He said, leave everything, leave all the worldly things and come and follow me. He led him down into this land, and Abram, he came to Shechem. And then when the drought came, the famine, he nicked off to Egypt, didn't he? And in Egypt, he nearly lost his wife. He gave his wife over to Pharaoh, you know. And it didn't look too good, did it? Abram doesn't look too good at this story. But the grace of God rescued Sarah. The grace of God reminded Abram who he was as God's servant, God's chosen instrument. He went back into the land, and we know the story, you know, how he waited all these years for us. He made mistakes. He went off with Rahab. He had Ishmael. He made mistakes. But God's grace again and again met Abram and revealed more of his character to him and showed him who he was, a God of mercy and grace, abounding in steadfast love. These are the things they should be remembering at Shechem, but they're not remembering them because Solomon has rejected the truth about God. He has given himself over to the world, embraced the world's ways, he set the example for God's people, not the example of grace. Not the example of Abraham or Jacob. What about Jacob, the liar, the deceiver? It is so easy for us to be seduced by worldly thinking and worldly approaches to life and forget the vital truths that Abraham learnt about God, that Jacob learnt about God, and of course David, we could see in the kingship of Israel, David too imparted truth about God. Solomon, who began well and ended terribly, they should remember how he began, not how he ended. But sadly, the generation that grows up on those who end badly are led, sadly, into trouble. He spoke to them, Rehoboam, according to the counsel of the young men. My father made your yoke heavy. I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. This is the principle that Satan always works on in every one of our lives. Work harder. Try harder. You're not good enough, are you? You need to get hard. You need to work harder. What did Satan say to Eve in the garden? Effectively, what he said to her, you're not good enough. When she was perfect. She was created in the image of God. And the devil said to her, you lack something. You need something more than what you have. You need to get this. And as soon as she ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, she was driven from that moment on, as God told her, you will now want to be your husband instead. You will want to take his role. You will try harder to be like him instead of being who you were, who I created you to be. And you look at the world today, women are trying to be like men. And it's a sinful pursuit. It's a sinful pursuit because the person themselves is not feeling adequate in who they are. That is Satan's tool to bring every one of us down. You are not adequate. You are not good enough. There's something defective about you. I could counsel all of you and spend some time with all of you, and I guarantee I will hear you share stories about you saying this to me. You feel you need to live up to a standard, or maybe even your father has set a standard for you and you feel you need to live up to this standard. That is not the way of God. God loves you personally. You are precious to him personally. He created you in your mother's womb. He put you together. He loves you as you are. You're a sinner. He's provided the means of your salvation to set you free from all these sins. He is absolutely adequate for all your needs, and he definitely does not say work harder. God does not say work harder. He says, finished. I've done it all for you. You see, the kingdom of God is such a different kingdom. It operates on completely different principles. Now, when you become part of it, you receive the teaching of Jesus, who says, the Gentiles lord it over the leaders, lord it over their subjects, and great ones exercise authority. But it shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be your slave. For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served, but to serve. Give his life as a ransom. Just before this, he says to James and John, are you able to drink the cup that I drink? What is the cup that Jesus drinks? It's a cup of suffering. It's a cup of rejection. It's a cup of despising. The world will despise him because he's not the king they were wanting. The cup that he drinks is the cup of the kingdom of God. And Rehoboam is rejecting God's way, and he's embracing the ways of this world. He's rejecting the heritage that Shechem should remind him about. And what you're going to see happen now is just disaster for Israel. And we are living in a time of great tension and trouble on earth. And the devil is trying so hard to make Christians say, you need to work harder. You need to understand more about the end times. You need to do more. No. God is saying, come to Jesus. He will give you rest. He will show you how much God loves you and all that he's done for you. And you'll have rest for your soul. Your soul will not be driven by the world's demands or even its successes. 6 wickets on a Sunday. No, Michael, be careful. You're going down a chute of disaster here. The world will offer us apparent success to lead us away from God, to lead us away from a relationship with the one who came from heaven, born as we've just celebrated, in a stable, who came to show us the way to live life to the full. Because as we follow him, as we trust him, he promises us not only life in this world, but eternal life. He's gone ahead to prepare a place for us. He's doing things for us right now. He's interceding for me and you. This is a God who doesn't say, work harder. He says, come to me. Receive my counsel. Oh, if only Rehoboam had listened to these older men who recognized Solomon's error. But they wouldn't listen. Let's pray.